Silence seems like a challenging theme for an opera, but the creators of a new contemporary opera about silence have lots to say about the subject and about redefining this very traditional art form for new generations. They're presenting Silence Is as a work in progress as part of the upcoming Lit Crawl Festival in the capital. Writer Chris Teese is part of the team working on it, created with the encouragement of New Zealand Opera. He says there's lots to say about silence beyond the obvious.
For this opera, we are exploring the literal and metaphorical meanings of silence. So I think a lot of people, when we tell them that we're doing an opera about silence, they just, you know, jump to John Cage or, you know, all of us just sitting on a stage, not doing anything. But we're really interested in how silence has a role in our daily lives through communication, and also, you know, the role of silence in our political lives as well. So using silence as a way of oppressing people or supporting things that people shouldn't support.
Can you give me some examples?
These days, people sort of take silence as a signal of sort of completely supporting something or not really wanting to have an opinion. We've sort of seen politicians or celebrities or people in the public eye being sort of coerced or questioned about why they haven't made a statement about something. And, you know, there's often lots of reasons for that. And a lot of people sort of immediately jump to the negative and think that they have a negative view of something because of that.
Crikey, big themes, Chris. It sounds very different to a traditional operatic narrative. You know, no dying heroines here. So how are you putting these ideas, encapsulating these ideas in an opera?
We've been working on this since late last year. It sort of came out of a program that New Zealand Opera put together called 624 Voices of Aotearoa, where they asked for writers, singers, composers, and musicians to express interest to be a part of this program. And the idea was to sort of throw all of these creatives together and challenge the way that opera is created. So rather than sort of having a writer write the words who then gives them to a composer who puts them to music, and then sort of having the singer and the musicians sort of try and figure out how to make this come to life. Having everyone in the room and everyone contributing to different aspects of it sort of helps sort of create different ideas and bring sort of their own experiences to the table as well. And that's sort of how we ended up with choosing silence as a theme. So we were asked for this program to bring personal stories to sort of use as prompts. And between the four of us, funnily enough, two of them really featured silence quite heavily. Tessa, who is our singer, spoke about how they had a vocal injury and had to have vocal rest for several months. So, you know, you can imagine as a singer, that can be quite a terrifying ordeal to go through. And then Rosa, who is our composer, spoke about going to a silent retreat for a weekend where you couldn't make a single noise. And the whole point of that retreat was to sort of try and find inner peace. So that's sort of where the idea came from. And we sort of started throwing in all of these different ideas about, you know, how silence can be represented or how it's sort of treated in the world. We'd sort of just, you know, been thinking quite a lot about the lockdowns of last year and how, you know, the absence of cars and people in the city sort of allowed birds to return to the city. So you could go for a walk down Lambton Quay and you'd just hear all of this amazing bird song rather than, you know, the usual hustle and bustle of Wellington daily life. So we sort of all brought these different ideas and experiences to the table and then sort of started sifting through them and figuring out, well, what can we translate into a musical sense? And yeah, that's kind of where we've ended up at the moment.
So will there be, I mentioned that word narrative before, will this form itself into a story or a narrative? Or if you're approaching opera in new ways, does it have to be?
So we are really upending the whole idea of what opera can be. We are sort of seeing this as a bit of a non-linear, non-narrative sort of opera. So there isn't a story, so to say. There's no sort of acts and no beginning, middle, end. We're sort of creating what we're calling like little vignettes, and each vignette will sort of focus on one of those different ideas of silence. And there are, of course, still musical motifs and threads that are woven throughout the piece as a whole. So that sort of gives it a little bit of framework and a little bit of structure. But each sort of piece that we've got in the opera kind of can stand on its own.
All the opera audiences, Chris, you know, can be very difficult to budge. I mean, there was an awful lot of media when our National Opera Company was talking about the new opera they're working on, about those unruly tourists who created
yes.
chaos around the country. And it was very divisive. I mean, I found it fascinating, really. But are you, as a young artist, as a young creative, excited about taking opera apart or offering new things to it from the traditional?
Yeah, I think what was amazing about the New Zealand Opera program that we were a part of last year, so the 624 program, the only people that had to have some sort of background or experience in opera were the singers. So the writers, the musicians and the composers didn't have to have experience in opera. So a lot of us, and myself included, didn't necessarily have that experience, hadn't worked with opera before, weren't even familiar with opera as audience members. So I think bringing that sort of blank slate, no expectations, no ideas, no preconceptions, really helped us to sort of really just start from scratch. I've been fascinated with some of the conversations that the musicians have about opera, and being someone who really doesn't know anything about it, I can sort of ask those questions about, well, why does it have to be like this and why is it always like this? And then that sort of upends the conversation as well and sort of subverts that thinking, which is really, really exciting.
I mean, you're a storyteller, right, Chris? That's what you're bringing to the table.
Yeah, and, you know, even though, like, I was brought into the process as a writer, what's happened is that we've all pitched into it in at varying sort of different ways. So, you know, I am there as a writer with my writer hat on, but I'm also now contributing music to it as well. So I've actually composed a little bit of music for this opera, and I've built a track that we're going to use as part of the performance. And Ruby Solly, who is also in the group now, is, you know, bringing both her writing hat on and her musician hat on. So we're all sort of adding to this strange thing in various ways.
What about the style of music? I know it's still early days, you're still working on it, but are we going to have that traditional orchestral sound, or again, will this be quite different? What instrumentation are you experimenting with?
At the moment, it's very early days, and the performance that we'll be putting on at Verb is sort of like a work in progress. When we put the first piece together for New Zealand Opera, it was just vocals and flute, because that's what we had to work with. So we've sort of expanded on that idea of using flute and the idea of breath and silence as a sort of a musical motif or a musical theme. We've also got Ruby playing cello in the Verb performance, as well as contributing Taonga Puro. And I've sort of added some sort of electronic elements as well with programmed drum beats and synthesizers. So it's a little bit of a clash of styles and instruments. But that in itself is also quite exciting, because it sort of removes us from that sort of quote-unquote traditional opera, big orchestra, ensemble sort of style.
You're still working on this, of course, and this is the work in progress at St. Peter's. But ultimately, what are the kinds of spaces that silence is could best work in, do you think?
Very early on, we talked about that sort of contradiction of silence and public spaces. You know, a lot of public spaces aren't silent. And we wanted to potentially introduce opera into those spaces, or introduce opera into spaces that are expected to be silent. So places like galleries or libraries or waiting rooms. We just really wanted to play with challenging those sort of expectations of what a space is meant to be or meant to inhabit. The focus is on this performance at Verb in November, but we are sort of already thinking ahead to next year and some possible venues and other performances.
I just have a vision of you being shushed in a library, but man, I'd go to that waiting room. What a lovely idea.
Yeah.
A big part of this, of course, Chris, is an awareness that opera audiences are getting older and getting smaller, and it's been very hard, and people like yourself, very hard to get people into opera halls to hear. So, I mean, do you feel that the kind of work Silences and the others are working on will attract a younger audience wanting something other than the traditional opera?
That's the hope. Like, we sort of had discussions for our piece about maybe even evolving it so it's not necessarily an opera where you sort of go to a venue and you sit down and you experience it, but it could, you know, be dismantled and turned into some sort of installation that is sort of then put in places where people wouldn't expect opera to occur, so like railway stations and museums and galleries and bookstores. So there's so much scope and possibility, not only with our project, but with, I guess, a lot of the projects that we're sort of being pitched and worked on at the 624 weekend, where, yeah, there's a way to sort of bring opera into everyday lives that sort of subverts that traditional form, which is something that New Zealand Opera, I think, is really trying to do. And that's the sort of the vibe that we got when we were part of this program.
Are you in touch with the others who were part of the 624, you know, to give us a feeling for what else is being experimented with?
So one of the amazing things about that 624 program was, you know, at the end of the second weekend workshop, we, you know, had to present our moment of song or the idea that we had. And all bar one were very, very non-traditional and very unexpected ways of approaching what an opera could be. So I haven't had any updates about where others are at with their projects. But, you know, as a group, we wanted to continue exploring what we had come up with at that program and at those workshops. I'm all new to this world of opera and this world of music. So it's been a massive learning curve for me and really, really fulfilling, though, also creatively, personally.
Silences is on November the 6th at St. Peter's as part of Lit Crawl in Wellington. I was talking to one of the co-creators, Chris Teese.